Yusef, thank you for leading us this morning as we've joined our voices to praise God. The song that Yusef led before the Lord's Supper, and I'm sure you're this way, I know I am, but sometimes I sing these songs and I think about them, and then there are times where I just sing, and there's not a lot of thought going in. I'm just singing with the song leader and with the congregation. And this morning, though, I was thinking a little bit more about that, and I don't know if it's just because the words are in front of you and I was just are in front of me and I was just thinking about it, but that song right before the Lord's Supper, beneath the cross of Jesus, the last words that we sang before the Lord's Supper was offered, two wonders I confess, the wonders of redeeming love and my unworthiness. The wonders of thy redeeming love and my unworthiness. Those are two wonders that we confess. And I thought, they're not songs. I mean, we sing a lot of songs that help us to reflect on certain moments like the Lord's Supper. But that song and those few words, they're not greater words that we sing that help us right before the Lord's Supper than those words. And I don't know that I've ever really thought about that. And that's not part of the sermon today. Isn't that great? You get that free today. Let's talk a little bit about there is no love, no fear in love. Have you ever been scared before? Any of you have ever been scared before? Okay, I'm still this way as an adult. I get scared very easily. When I was really small, I was always scared. I think I just lived in a constant state of fear. My parents knew that I was scared a lot, and my sister knew that I was scared a lot, and so they would always do things. They were so mean to me growing up. But I can remember one time my sister crawled under the bed. And I don't know how old I was, but she crawled under the bed. And my mom told us to go to, we had different rooms. So my mom said, y'all go to bed, and time to go to bed. So we all got in bed. Well, I was about to doze off. And my sister out from under the bed, I had a little twin bed, out from under the bed, that arm comes up right across me. And I started screaming, and my mom literally thought that someone was killing me. I thought someone was killing me, so I'm thankful she thought that. But there are a lot of moments of my childhood that are like that. I could tell story after story. I remember even my parents were in on a lot of this. Like once my dad's uncle was coming. They would play cards a lot at night, and so my dad's uncle was coming over, and they were going to play cards. Well, he knocked on the door. Well, I want to tell you, I'm not answering the door after dark at my house when I was smaller. I'm just not doing it. I'm scared, and there's no telling who could be on the other side of that door, right? And so I remember he was knocking on the door, and my mom said, if you don't go answer that door, I'm going to whip you. And I thought, well, how mean is that? She never gave me a whooping growing up, so I should have thought, that's a fib. She's not going to whoop me. But anyway, so I go to the door. And it's about the time I get ready. And I mean, I'm dreading this the whole time. I mean, seriously, sick to my stomach. It's probably 7 or 8, 9 o'clock at night. And I'm getting ready to open the door. And about that time, you remember those old doors with the diamond-shaped little window glass in them? He sticks his face right up in that. And I mean, I took off running. And I jumped, like, from the kitchen all the way to my mama's lap, right? Because that's the place to be. That's the place of comfort. If you're in mom's lap, you're good, right? I think that maybe what John is trying to tell us is that if we can just be in the Father's lap, if we can just be in his arms of comfort, if we can be in his shield of grace, if our confidence and courage can be in him, everything's going to be okay. And I really think that that's part of the message in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love. Yes, there are going to be moments when we are afraid. Those moments will never go away. But in the moment of fear, we can have courage. We can have confidence. We can put our trust in God. I would say not all fear is bad, right? There are some aspects of fear that are somewhat positive. Jesus would say something like, don't fear him who could kill the body, but rather fear him who has the power to kill both the body and soul forever, right? And so there's a positive aspect to fear. When we stand before a holy God in reverence, in awe, in some respects in fear, yes, we understand that God's going to punish those who are not obedient. God's going to punish those who do evil. God's going to punish those who are not in line with His will. That develops a certain amount of respect. So in that perspective, fear can be somewhat positive. And so not all fear is bad. There is a fear with some that's kind of a free-floating fear, right? A free-floating fear that is just kind of this constant state of being fearful of things in life, all things that could happen bad, this constant state of worry. And I hope that you're not that kind of person, but you probably know someone who's like that. Or maybe it's that attitude, the sky is falling. And there are some people that just have that free-floating fear aspect. If you would, look at Psalm 27 with me for just a moment. Psalm 27. Psalm 27, I want to read verses 1 and verse 14. Now, those are bookends to this particular psalm, okay? And I like verse 1 and verse 14 because as the middle of it, as David's talking about, listen, God, You take care of me. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to take my comfort in You. I realize there are enemies out there. I realize there's evil out there. I realize there are bad things out there. But notice the bookends here. Not necessarily focus on all the middle. Notice the bookends. Verse 1. Now, again, this is from David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. This is a question. Whom shall I fear? Right? God, if You are on my side, and if You are exactly who I believe You to be, the God overall, the sovereign God, then what is there really to be fearful of in this life? Not meaning they're not going to be bad things that will happen. Not meaning that, in order to have courage, you have to have courage in the face of fear. Not meaning that you're not going to have moments of fear, but you're going to be able to overcome those moments with trust in God. And again, Psalm 27 here, verse 1, the second part of that is, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Notice verse 14. In verse 14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Here's this idea. God, if You are on my side, what do I have really to worry about? And then David, as he closes this thought, his thought is, listen, I'm going to take my courage in You, God. In other words, I'm going to be surrounded by the comfort of Your strength, of Your grace, of Your ability to care for me and do for me what's needed. And so David is basically saying, what shall I fear when I trust in You? Right? There's nothing that I can't deal with or overcome. I need to put my trust in You. But again, in verse 14, he talks about this idea of courage. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. You know, courage, if we think about it, maybe just from some other words that we might connect, and not necessarily a concise definition of courage, but more along the lines of just thinking about it with a few words. Bravery, fearlessness, boldness. You see, God, I want courage to stand up in the face of adversity, in the face of fear, and it's all because I trust in You. The Spirit that enables a person to face difficulty without fear. That's what we're asking God for. And that's what God wants us to do as we serve Him and trust Him. And David, the author of Psalm 27, he found courage in the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that there weren't moments that David faced in life that once he placed his trust and his confidence in God that weren't fearful. Surely he faced fear. But he didn't allow fear to overcome him. He put his fear in perspective, and he took his courage and his strength in God. And so David was able to face life with confidence. And I think that's one of the biggest lessons that we get from Psalm 27 is we can face life with confidence regardless of what happens, regardless of what comes our way, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of how negative people can be or the evil that exists in the world. We can take our confidence in God because we know that He is our stronghold. He's our shield. He's our defender. He is our strength. He is our trust. Look with me for just a moment at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 6. Now, I want to read a rather lengthy section here, but Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, and I want to kind of shift this lesson and our thinking more to maybe focus a little bit on the life of Paul, because I think Paul lives this out beautifully. But notice Philippians 4, beginning with verse 6. Notice what Paul's instruction to the church at Philippi is. Notice the instruction that he gives to a church that is living in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of difficult times. What he says is, be anxious for nothing. Just let that resonate. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God will surpass all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think about these good things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Think about these things. Think about the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Don't be anxious. Think about these things. But he says, but rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care for me has flourished again, that though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned whatever state I am in to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Here's David saying that my strength comes from Jesus Christ. And one of the things that I need to do is I need to think about and I need to talk about the good things of life and remember what I believe about in God so that I can overcome these moments of adversity and fear. Now, I just want to make mention of this for just a moment. If you look at Daniel chapter 3, we're not going to read from there, but you know the story in Daniel chapter 3. In Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 7 is when Nebuchadnezzar builds the big golden statue, right? And you remember there were some guys trying to deceive Nebuchadnezzar so that they could have these three faithful servants of God eventually put to death. And so there's all the decree. And all that kind of happens in the first seven verses. In verses 8 and following, all the way through verse 30, it's kind of the rest of the story. And you remember that when you think about the mass amount of people that are there before Nebuchadnezzar, things that would, in that particular sense, cause people to be fearful, that would make others afraid. If you don't bow down to this golden statue, then you're going to be in trouble. Things that promoted fear, some people gave into. As a matter of fact, all of these people gave into except these three boys. How many of you have seen VeggieTales? Some of you have seen VeggieTales. This is Rack Shack and Benny, right? This is the story of Rack Shack and Benny. I mean, you know, that's of course, it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? But this is that story, okay? And so you remember that these three young boys did not give in. And as a result, don't misunderstand the fact that Nebuchadnezzar was absolutely furious. And he caused the fire to burn even hotter than normal, so much so that when they got ready to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, it consumed and killed the guys who were actually putting them in the fire. But you know the story. They came out. They were not burned. They lived. They didn't even smell like smoke. And you might remember that in that particular story, there is a mention of a fourth person who was in the furnace. One, as is described in Daniel chapter 3, one that's described as one who was like a son of man. I want to tell you, there are differences of opinion about who that is referring to. I am a firm believer. I am convinced it's Jesus Christ. There is another opinion, and if you hold that other opinion, you'll go to your grave wrong the rest of your life, okay? So just know that that I believe it's Jesus Christ, okay? And so there is that Son that is there to provide strength for three amazingly faithful young men who did not give in to the fear that others fell subject to. And what a beautiful story that kind of leads us into this idea of no fear in love. Look also with me at Proverbs chapter 3. I just want to take a small section of Proverbs 3, beginning with verses 23 through 26. Notice what the proverb writer says. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence, and He will keep your foot from being caught. Here is the proverb writer saying, put your trust, your faith in God. It's going to be sweet peace to you when you sleep, and it'll bring comfort to you when you face fear. And again, this idea of not being able to slip or to fall because of the relationship with God. I think that's true of our relationship with God as well, right? When we have that relationship with Jesus Christ, when we come to know Him fully, we understand the power of His grace, we understand the power of His might to help us, and the ability to provide the strength that we need in the midst of difficult times, it makes us so much better, and it certainly makes us stronger, it makes us confident, and it gives us great courage. You looked at Philippians 4 a moment ago. Flip back a page with me and notice Philippians chapter 3. Notice what Paul says again here. And we're thinking more along the life of what Paul says, but also the comfort and courage that he himself took in God Almighty. Notice in verse 1 in Philippians 3, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write is the same thing. For me to write the same thing to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. And then he goes on to say, beware of dogs, beware of evildoers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Now notice what he starts to do in verses 4. And I'm not going to read all this, but verses 4, 5, 6, 7, he says, these things were gained to me. If you want to have confidence in something other than God, if you want to have confidence in yourself and in your own ability, he said, if we want to go that route, I could be a very confident individual. I mean, I was an individual among my Jewish brethren where I excelled. I climbed that ladder of success. I was certainly one who was, if you want to be arrogant, I could be arrogant with you. If you want to talk about confidence in a person's ability, I can talk about being confident. But notice he says, yet all these things I've count as loss for Christ's sake. Yeah, confidence in yourself really does not get you anywhere. In verse 8 he says, yet indeed I count all these things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered all things. Whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, and being found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness of God. Now, what he goes on to say, but I press on, you know, I'm going to lay hold of the call, of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's going to be faithful to Christ. And again, the next verse, he says, just, you know, Christ can give us strength to help us in these moments, to be courageous and to be strong. But here's an individual who didn't just know about Jesus Christ. Here's an individual that knew Him intimately, that had an intimate relationship. He knew the ins and outs of Jesus. He knew about Jesus' love, but he also knew about Jesus' strength. He knew about Jesus' authority, but he also knew about the courage of Christ. And he emulated the life of Christ. He lived that life fully. And so again, he just says, I'm going to put my confidence not in the flesh. I'm going to put my confidence in Jesus Christ. And so let's think about Paul's life for just a moment. Very quickly and very succinctly, I want to give you a few points to walk away from as you think about courage and confidence and trust. And certainly, as we're talking about, there are things, if we think about them and talk about them, there are things that will build our faith, will build our courage, will build our character, and it will help each of us in this walk of life. When we're going to face fear, what do we do in the face of fear? Do we give in like the mass of people in Daniel 3? Or do we stand with courage like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do we stand like Paul as he was instructing the church at Philippi? Be anxious for nothing. Put your confidence in Christ. So here's a few things as we close this lesson that you can walk away with. Number one, we know that we will encounter no trial greater than we will be able to bear. There's no trial greater than we will be able to bear. We can put our confidence and trust in God that He's not going to allow us to experience something that we simply cannot handle in this life by way of fear. And you notice 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So number one, we know that we will encounter no trial greater than we will be able to bear. And then number two, understand that we know that there is nothing that can separate us from God's love. How comforting is that? Let me just say, before I read the passage. How comforting is it to know that there is nothing in this life, period, that can separate you from the love of God? Now, you can decide on your own free will to walk away from His love. You can decide to separate yourself from Him. That's just your personal decision. But you're the only thing that can stand between you and God. No one else can. No power, no principality, no authority, nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Listen to what Paul says again. And I think this is one of the things that made Paul so confident and so full of courage and trust in the face of difficulty and certainly in the face of fear. Notice Romans 8, verses 31 through 39. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who shall be against us? Doesn't that sound a little bit like what we were reading a few moments ago in Psalm 27, verse 1? And here's Paul uttering those same words. If God's for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God for that. Amen. That there is nothing in this life that can separate us from the amazing love of God. I think a third thing that sort of strengthened Paul is we know that by His strength we can achieve all that is in His divine plan for us. All that God has in store for us according to His plan, God will provide for us. Help me out. What does Philippians 4:13 say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God will provide the very things we need according to His will and way as we walk in this life and certainly as we face fear. Number four, we know that God will bring good out of every situation if we only love and serve Him. Now, it doesn't mean that He's causing everything to happen. Because people have free will, bad things will happen. But in the midst of difficult circumstances, in the midst of evil, in the midst of bad things happening, God can make something good happen as a result. And that's Romans 8:28. Every time I see on the clock, I see the time, 8:28, I just pause and I think about this verse, right? All things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. You see, again, this point, God will not bring, God will bring out good out of every situation if we only love Him and serve Him. According to His will, this is what's going to happen. It's according to His will. All things are going to work together for the good according to His will. God's will is perfect. I've mentioned this to you before. Thy kingdom come in the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in. So things are going to happen here that are not God's will. Right? God's not willing that any should, help me out, perish. Will people perish though? Yes. We have free will in this matter. Right? We get to decide. But according to God's will and God's way, in heaven, it's perfect. Down here, we're going to face some difficulty. But if we trust God, we know that according to His will, all things are going to work out. All things are going to work out for the good because it's His will, not our will. And that's the focus of Romans 8:28. And then finally, we know that we can look at death differently than those who have no hope. Brother Robert has stood before us on several occasions, and he's talked about how, I mean, death is a part of life. It's appointed man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. And, you know, that's Hebrews 9:27, verse 28 says, but while we're here, we're going to look forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ, right? That's where our hope is, in Jesus Christ. And so yeah, death's a part of this life. We're going to face it. But we also understand that as we face death, we face it differently than everyone else. We don't face it as a people who have no hope. We face death as people who are filled with hope that there is more beyond. There is something better. And certainly that's what is communicated by Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verses 13 through 14. He says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no... Everyone sorrows. But lest you sorrow like everyone else who have no hope. And so his idea is, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. It just reminds us, doesn't it, of that sweet Psalm 23. The 23rd Psalm that brings so much comfort and so much trust in God. Listen to it again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Notice verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because courage is placed in the shepherd. Trust is given to the one who has the ability to provide care and to be a stronghold. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't it great to know that even though we're going to face difficult times here, and even though on this side of eternity, yes, we will be in the face of fear, but we also understand and know that if and when we face fear, our faith and our trust and our courage and confidence is placed in God, then what can happen here that God can't take care of? What can we experience here that the ultimate good, even if it's on that other side of eternity, that ultimate good won't happen? It's going to come, it will come full circle. It will happen exactly the way that God intends for it to happen. And it might not be on this side of eternity. It might be on the other side. But we know that in heaven, God's will is perfect. It's for our benefit and for our ultimate good. If you will place your confidence and faith in Jesus Christ, confess Him as Lord, turn your life over to Him in repentance, if you will submit to Him in baptism to have your sins washed away through the blood that He shed on the cross, if you'll put your confidence of walking firmly and securely in Jesus Christ the rest of your life as a disciple, God's going to bless you. Your Lord will strengthen you. If you've not done that, then our encouragement this morning is to step up and step out into the aisle and walk forward in faith so that we can take your confession and immerse you in Christ for the remission of sins. If we can help you in any way, please come all together. We stand and sing.